Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 21 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day, Resurrection Day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be doing a broad overview of events of the cross and the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection. So we're going to paint a picture with a broad brush today and go through some of the most remarkable events in the history of mankind, really the most remarkable events in the history of mankind. And so if you have your Bible there today, turn it to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll start there talking about the cross, why the cross, and then we'll move into looking at the resurrection and the joy that we have for today, this day, Resurrection Sunday. Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update what's going on over in Kenya. We're in the school project, getting into it pretty good, and we're getting the slab poured for the first building. There's three buildings in this project. It's a primary school, grades 1 through 8, with administrative block, cafeteria, kitchen, all the good things that we need to conduct school. And so this will be a great school. 200 to 300 students will be attending there. An opportunity to teach them not only the ABCs, but also the blessings of telling them about Jesus Christ. So we're going to do everything in a good Christian environment. And many of these kids are coming from Muslim families, so it'll be an opportunity to teach them also about the Lord Jesus and give them a worldview that they've not heard before. So if you think you would be interested in helping with this project, we need $300,000 to complete this project, get it ready for school. And so if you have any questions, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. And we can talk about this project. I can send you drawings and let you know all the details. So we'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you're interested and we'll get you involved in this great project. Well, today we're going to be talking about the cross and the resurrection events of this weekend, nearly 2,000 years ago, the most astounding events in the history of the world. And so this is a recollection given to us in the Bible, all the details that we need to know about the cross, all the details that we need to know about the resurrection and what it means for your life, what it means for me, what it means for the life of every single person on the face of the earth. And if you don't have Jesus as your Lord, if you've never committed your life to him, you need to listen to this message very close today. And if you have questions, email me at the end of the broadcast. I'll give contact information. You need to listen and see what you think personally for yourself about Jesus Christ, because that's the question for every single person on the face of the earth. What do you believe about Jesus? You're not going to be judged at the end of the day. You're not going to be judged on whether you're a good person or the good things that you've done or the meals that you've cooked for other people or the flat tires that you've fixed for other people. You're going to be judged on what you believe about Jesus Christ. Where do you stand with Jesus? That is the question for all mankind. That is the question that was on the table at the cross when Jesus was nailed to the cross. The devil thought he had a great victory. And then 3 days later, Jesus proved that he is the Messiah. He proved that he is the Christ, the anointed one that came to set us free from our sins. And so we're going to paint a broad picture of that today, cover a lot of territory. But just listen, if you're not a born-again believer, and if you have questions, again, you can contact me and we'll talk about your questions. Well, if we're going to look at the cross, we have to look at why did Jesus go to the cross? What was the purpose for God putting his own son, his very own son, on the cross and shed his perfect, precious blood for us. All the torture, all the pain, all the agony that Jesus went through, what was the purpose of it? And John 3:16, of course, said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so you could sum it all up with that verse, but there's many other verses all throughout the Bible. Every book of the Bible is a picture of Jesus Christ. All the books of the Old Testament point to Jesus. All the books of the New Testament tell about Jesus, his genealogy, his life, his miracles, every part of his life. And so we have here a very complete picture of why the cross, a very complete picture of why the resurrection. And so that is what we're going to look at today. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, this in thinking about the cross, "Now all things are of God." This is the Apostle Paul speaking and writing. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19, "That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or not recording their trespasses or their sins to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation," that is, rejoining or closing the gap of separation between God and man. And so the Bible tells us that our sin has separated us from God. You know, when you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, you realize that mankind had everything that he needed. The first Adam was living in a place of perfection. The first Adam was living in a place where there was no pain, there was no sorrow, there was no sickness, there was no lack. And yet, because the devil came and tempted Adam and Eve, they fell. First Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then she handed that fruit to Adam, and he ate of it. And so since then, we have lived in a fallen world. And you look around and you see all the results of the fallen world. You see drug trafficking. You see sex trafficking, human trafficking. You see all kinds of sickness. You see poverty. When you come to Kenya, you'll see poverty like you can't even imagine. Millions of people, even just in Nairobi, in one city, living in abject poverty. And so God has wanted to reconcile himself to man, reconcile man back to himself. And the only way he could do it was through his Son, Jesus Christ, because there was no man whose blood was perfect. There was no man whose blood could cover the sins of all mankind. There was only one man, and that was the man, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who was also God. And he has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Then in verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, For God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. And this is a very powerful verse. You should commit it to memory. But this is a summarization of the reason Jesus went to cross. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was sinless. As we talked about, he was sinless. He had no sin in his life. He had no reason to take any punishment for us. He had no reason to go to the cross. The cross was a place of punishment for thieves, a place of punishment for robbers and people who had been rebellious towards the Roman Empire. And so Jesus had no reason at all to be there. Jesus had no reason really as a man to be on the earth, except for the fact that God was leading him to this place of the cross. God was leading him to go to the cross to take our place, because we have sin, because we live in the fallen world, because we're made in the image of God, but we're also made in the image of Adam, the first man. And Adam was a man that had sin and his wife Eve. And so God was pointing Jesus to the cross from the very beginning. That was the plan of God. Well, Hebrews 9:22 says the reason that blood had to be shed, Hebrews 9:22 says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And if you read through the book of Leviticus and all the Levitical law and all of the Old Testament, the Torah, you see this elaborate, very complex plan and very complex schemes of sacrificing goats and bulls and sheep and rams and all these animals to try to assuage or give offering to the Lord for the sins of mankind, give offering to God, because that was the only way that they had to make atonement for their sins, was the shed blood of the animals. And they had to purify all the instruments of the temple, they had to purify the priests, everything had to be purified with blood, and yet they had to keep repeating it over and over and over. Every month, every week, every year, it had to be repeated because the sins of man had to be atoned for by this blood, and they had no perfect blood. They had no blood that was really capable of washing their sins away and keeping their sins washed away. So the picture of Jesus washing our sins away was the picture of the tabernacle, the picture of the temple in the Old Testament. God gave the people the picture that came from heaven, and it was a picture of the eventual washing of our sins by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, not only on the cross, but his shed blood at the whipping post, his shed blood when he was in the garden and praying. He was sweating blood, and then he was put on trial. They beat up his face. He shed blood that way, and then they drove the nails through his hands. They drove the nails through his feet. They pierced his side. All in all, there was seven different ways that Jesus shed his blood. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first. And so Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant that was initiated when the veil was torn at the temple. The veil was ripped, and God was showing us, he was showing the whole world that because of the blood of Jesus and because of Jesus going to the cross, that now we had access to God. We didn't have to go through the blood of bulls. We didn't have to go through the priests, the manly priests. We had access to God because of the blood of Jesus. And so that is the purpose that Jesus went to the cross. He didn't want to necessarily go to the cross. He only went out of obedience, but he prayed, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, if there's any way that I can escape this torment and this trial, Father, let me drink of that cup. But Jesus was given the suffering. And then he said, Father, thy will be done. I will go to the cross in obedience to you. And the Bible says that Jesus was obedient to his Father in every way, even to the point of death on the cross. Well, the resurrection came after the cross. The resurrection proved that Jesus had power over death, that the devil no longer had power over him. And this was also prophesied in the Old Testament. We'll look at a couple of the prophecies here. First of the crucifixion, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let the Lord God rescue him. Let him deliver him, since God delights in him. And so that was a prophecy of the cross. And King David wrote this over 1,000 years before Jesus went to the cross. But there's also a prophecy that David wrote in Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And so Jesus sat down at the right hand of God after the resurrection. That was also prophesied. And it was spoken by Jesus himself that he would be resurrected. And the first prophecy of the resurrection was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This came after the fall of Adam. When the Lord is speaking to the serpent, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And her seed is Jesus Christ. That's who the Lord was speaking. I will put enmity between your seed, the serpent's seed, and her seed, Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus, shall bruise your head. He will crush the head of the serpent. And you, serpent, shall bruise his heel. And that was talking about the cross and the resurrection. Jesus was bruised at the cross. And he was able to crush the head of the serpent at the cross. He proved that he had power over the devil. He had proved that he had power over death. And Jesus even spoke this over himself. When he was teaching the disciples, he was telling them about the cross. He was telling them that he was going to the cross. And so in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, verse 15, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Christ in Hebrew means the anointed one, the Messiah, the one who came to save our sins. He was the anointed one, the high priest. He came to save us from our sins. No longer did we have to rely on a man for a priest to mediate between us and God and to offer the sacrifice of blood of bulls and rams. Now we had a high priest, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And then verse 20, Jesus commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. And so Jesus started to tell his disciples that he was going to be raised on the third day. We are third day people. Jesus Christ was raised just as it was prophesied, and just as he spoke over the disciples, he was raised on the third day. And we're going to look at now at some other of New Testament testimonies that Jesus spoke over himself about the resurrection. Well, John 11, verse 23, Jesus' friend Lazarus had died, and he had come to the tomb of Lazarus actually 4 days after Lazarus had died. Jesus had come to the tomb to pay his respects, but even more than pay his respects, he had a mission in mind, and that was to raise Lazarus from the dead to show those people that they would see the glory of God when they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They would see God's power in that resurrection. And so Jesus is talking to Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters, and he says to her, your brother will rise again, because Martha was in great grief and she was distraught, as you can imagine, with her brother dying. And so she was saying to Jesus, Jesus, if you had come here before Lazarus died, you could have saved him from death, and you could have saved him, that we would not have to go through all this agony and all this grief and misery. And you know, in our own lives, you know what misery it is when people die that are very close to us, and especially if people die and you don't know if they're in heaven. You don't know if they're in hell. You don't know what happens to them after their life is over here on this earth. You may be in that situation here yourself. You don't know what's going to happen with you in the afterlife. You only know that you have this life, but the afterlife is a question mark for you. And so that was the situation for Martha. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So she was talking about some very far away future event that was in her mind, that was in her theology. And then Jesus said to her, this is the confession of Jesus that shook her and shook the world and still shakes us today. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And so you may be in that situation yourself today, that you don't know exactly what's going to happen to you after you die. You don't know anything about the other afterlife other than maybe what somebody else has told you. You've never read the Bible. You've never read the words of God. And so it is important for you to understand that Jesus is the resurrection. He is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. And when you know him, just as he told Martha, if you believe in me and you believe in that I am the resurrection, you will never die. And even if you die, you will live. Beloved, the day that you close your eyes on this earth, the very second that you close your eyes on this earth, you're going to be escorted into heaven by the angels of God if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're going to be escorted into heaven, and you're going to sit down at the right hand of God just like Jesus did after his own resurrection. You will have your own resurrection. Your spirit and your soul will be in heaven with all your ancestors who also confess Jesus as Lord. You'll be in heaven with the Apostle Paul and Moses and John the Baptist and with Jesus and God Almighty himself if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, some other scripture that Jesus spoke over himself. John 6, verse 51, Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day." And so if you eat the bread, the living bread, and you drink the living water, and you drink the blood of Jesus, not literally, but we take communion as a symbolic representation of the blood of Jesus. When you do that, then you are remembering him and you are confessing him as your Lord and Savior. You're standing before him and you're saying, "Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you went to the cross, shed your perfect, precious blood for my sin." And when you say that and you believe that, then you don't have fear over death. You know what's going to happen to you after you die, and you know you will be with the Lord God and Father God. You will be with Jesus Christ and Father God as soon as you die here on this earth. Well, I'm going to close out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or who have died. For since by man, Adam, came death, by man, Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Verse 23, "But each one in his own order." This is Paul speaking now about the rapture. "But each one is in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming, and then comes the end when Jesus delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, that is the kingdom of the devil. And so the kingdom of the devil was defeated at the cross. Jesus made an open show of the devil at the cross. The devil was judged guilty, and he's still guilty today. Yes, he's not bound. He's still causing chaos. He's still causing sickness. He's still causing mayhem. But he has been judged guilty, and he will eventually be bound. He will eventually be convicted and put in the lake of fire for all eternity. And those who follow him, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord, those who never confessed him, will then spend eternity with the devil in the lake of fire because they never had the judgment removed from them. They never confessed Jesus. Verse 54, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the corruptible will put on incorruption, the mortal will put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Well, that's the victory of the resurrection. That's the victory we celebrate today. There's no longer a sting of death. For those who know Jesus Christ, they have victory in the resurrection. They have victory because Jesus is at the right hand of God, advocating for them and cheering us on. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message today. I hope you get to a church today and celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Celebrate the fact that he died for you and that death no longer has victory over your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them. You can contact us at Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can go to PayPal. Use your debit or credit card at paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. Check us out on Facebook. See pictures of the ministry at facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.